Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everyone. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal, and you have tuned into Double Coverage, a podcast on all things Mississippi State and Ole Miss, a production of the Daily Journal. We thank you for being with us today. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer. Logan, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, Parrish. Just waiting around on another one of those lovely 8 o'clock tip-off basketball games. I know you're a big fan of those, and I am as well, especially trying to meet that deadline every night. It's a challenge when we have those. I'm glad it's just a few of those on Mississippi State schedule this year.
Yeah, you know, I'd forgotten all about the trials and tribulations of the 8 p.m. tip once I saw a 9 o'clock college football kickoff, man. I just, that makes 8 o'clock basketball seem like a breeze. So, yeah.
At a 9 o'clock and a 9:15. At a 9 o'clock a couple of years ago at Southern Miss to kick off football, and I had a 9:15 on a Friday night this past year at BYU. It seems like it's getting later and later.
Well, I'll tell you this, Logan, and you know this from working those late kicks and late tips, that there comes a point of no return as far as writing for the next day's paper. I mean, ultimately, you're just not going to get it in, and so that that removes a lot of the deadline pressure. Now, it cheats the reader. It really cheats the reader in the next day's paper, but that's not what the colleges and conferences really care about right now. If the networks said kick off at midnight, I think that would be okay. I think they would do whatever the networks say do. So, I feel like we do good work online, and we get a lot of good content and coverage there. And we hope you folks are checking out DJournal.com for daily updates on Mississippi State and Ole Miss and all things Northeast Mississippi. In fact, be sure you check out The Memo, our news podcast that comes to you every Wednesday and Friday with Brad Locke and Derek Russell. And also Prep Rally, all things high school sports with Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps every Wednesday. Excuse me. And then Logan and I are back with you on Thursdays, usually, depending on what the work week is like. But we're here with you today. Going to talk some football coaching news at Ole Miss with Trey Scott, defensive line coach, moving on to Georgia. That news broke on Wednesday, and really, Logan, it was it was a big surprise. I was surprised just a day before when I saw that Tracy Rocker, a longtime veteran defensive line coach, an All-American for 2 years at Auburn back in the '80s. I mean, a guy who's been around the SEC for years. Surprised to see him leave Georgia rather abruptly, and then kind of surprised the next day to find that within hours Kirby Smart had finalized that position and he was hiring Trey Scott, that Hugh Freeze had just hired. The hiring was announced on January 1st, had just hired from North Carolina. Now, Trey Scott has a history with Freeze. He played at Arkansas Tech, I believe, one of those small Arkansas Division II schools. But then he was a GA on Freeze's staff at Arkansas State for 2 seasons. And then he was a GA again for a 3rd season with Freeze's first Ole Miss team in 2012. So they got to know each other really well then. And the tone of Freeze's comments, Logan, from the day that Trey Scott's hiring was announced to yesterday is just could not be more different, a complete 180. On January 1st, in the news release, he was calling Trey Scott a rising star. And then on Wednesday, in a prepared statement in a text, he made reference to wanting coaches who only wanted to be committed to winning championships at Ole Miss. So that really looked like it came out of left field, and all of a sudden an Ole Miss staff that was settled and had become settled with, a lot of change. This staff hadn't seen much change at all under Freeze, and then all of a sudden there were 5 positions to be filled this offseason, and they all were filled before signing day, and I think that Hugh Freeze was just really ready to get going with that new staff, and then had to deal with this sudden change. And, you know, Logan, I got tickled at the people who shouted NCAA, NCAA, when Matt Lubick left after a week or two. You know, he had just been hired as wide receivers coach coming over from Oregon, where he was offensive coordinator. But he left for an obvious step up, an offensive coordinator spot at a Power 5 school, and he went to Baylor. So it wasn't like he was running away from off-field issues going over there. Trey Scott's departure is significant. By all accounts, he was a very good recruiter. He had that history with Freeze that I mentioned. And, you know, it just looked like a really good fit, a high-energy guy who had coached some successful players at the position at North Carolina for the last 2 years. The bottom line here is Freeze was not the only one to evaluate Trey Scott as a rising star. And coaches leave for their own reasons, whatever they are. And within a matter of hours after the news of Tracy Rocker's departure at Georgia, it looked like things were finalized between Trey Scott and Kirby Smart. The bottom line here is Freeze has had more turnover on this staff than he's ever had before, but he filled five positions with guys who look like they're going to be a good fit. And it's not a group of people, Logan, a group of coaches who, if you're not following closely Ole Miss football, you're going to stand up and say, wow, what an outstanding staff. But I think it's a group that meets needs for Hugh Freeze. And as we've talked about on this podcast before, with that group, every one of them somewhere up high in their bio, it was going to talk about recruiting, because he was going to hire guys who had been successful in bringing in talent. And I think Trey Scott was going to be one of those. But you look at the others, with Jacob Peeler, the wide receivers coach, coming over from Cal, Wesley McGriff, defensive coordinator. He had been a big part of the recruiting of that 2013 class at Ole Miss. Bradley Del Pavito, a longtime SEC assistant, mostly at LSU, but at some other places too. You know, very successful recruiter. You know, and Phil Longo, as offensive coordinator, you know, has a reputation as a successful recruiter as well. But with Longo, it was really more, I think the hiring was really more about philosophy and strategy and really implementing a certain system to run the football. I think that's the biggest thing there. But across the board with this group, Freeze has hired guys who can recruit, and we'll see if he's able to fill that position in the same way, the defensive line position that now is open. Now, you know, right away, there were people on social media saying, hey, Tracy Rocker, come on down, man. Bring Rocker over to this staff. And maybe Rocker becomes a candidate. We'll see. But I'll tell you, Logan, and you may have seen some of this too, part of the word on the street about this surprise separation with Rocker in Georgia had to do with recruiting. I mean, the rumor was that he was trying to spend less time recruiting and that had become an issue. Now, I do not know that has been confirmed or reported, but that certainly is out there as part of the conversation. And I bring it up to say this, if you're bringing Tracy Rocker onto this staff, if it goes down that road and he becomes a candidate, and his experience certainly makes him a strong candidate, then you spend a lot of time asking that question and having that conversation, because in the competitive nature of the SEC West, everybody's got to recruit, man. Everybody on staff has to bring something to the table as a recruiter, but that's especially true right now at Ole Miss, with the continuing NCAA investigation, with the scholarship reductions as a result of that, and probably more to come. I mean, you've got to be spot on your evaluations, and you've got to be able to close the deal in recruits' homes and bring it on home. And when ink and paper collide, man, you got to have that signature. So anyway, at the end of the day, the real worth of this new coaching staff will be determined in November, not February. And I think when it all comes down, whether it's been really good or less than that will not depend on one defensive line position. So we'll see.
Yeah, and Mississippi State was able to finalize its coaching staff this week. It's kind of been a long time coming. You know, they went through signing day with two positions on the staff still vacant, which is kind of a surprise. I mean, the quarterback's coach was wide open. I mean, they didn't have anybody for that position. And, you know, but they were able to get a couple of those guys. Actually, the contracts were finalized late yesterday afternoon, early last night. Brett Elliott comes to Mississippi State, comes back to Mississippi State, I should say. I mean, he was actually a GA for the past few years, working with the quarterbacks, worked with Dak Prescott a lot. He was actually a GA from 2012 to 2014, so he had a pretty nice little run at Mississippi State as a GA. He's gone on to be the offensive coordinator at James Madison and Texas State for the past couple of years. He comes back to Mississippi State, so he's a familiar name with those of us that have been around the program, maybe not for the entire fan base, that maybe not look that far down the coaching chart to see who the GAs are every year. But Brett Elliott's familiar with Mississippi State, obviously very familiar with Dan Mullins.
Yeah, for the record, Logan, I don't look that far down the coach. I don't know all the GAs, for the record.
Yeah, but, you know, this guy was around for so many years, you just knew that, you know, he was around. He was somebody that Mullen was very impressed with. I think he kind of, you know, after he ran out of his GA stuff, you know, he kind of wanted to get his feet wet at some other, get some experience at other places. And obviously, Mullen's a guy that keeps tabs on people. He keeps kind of a running list just in case he has to make a coaching change. He kind of keeps some names in mind at kind of every position. And, you know, when this one came up, when Brian Johnson left to go be the offensive coordinator at the University of Houston, he told me he was going to take his time. He was in no rush to make a hire at the quarterback's coach position. And Brett Elliott's name emerged early. I mean, that's a guy that he was really the one name that I kept hearing over and over again for this position. And it may have just been a situation where they wanted to finish out the recruiting process at Texas State, you know, for him to go ahead and finish out his class there and then move on to Mississippi State. But, you know, that was the one name. I mean, I wasn't surprised to hear the hire. I was surprised it took as long as it did. And then another name that kind of came out of nowhere, but another familiar name, and DJ Looney. He was a backup center at Mississippi State for most of his career. I think his career was cut short by a year because of knee injuries and stuff, and he ended up being a GA, which would have been his final year at Mississippi State. And, you know, he's been around. He coached the EMCC for a couple of years. He went to Central Arkansas. Most recently, he was a GA at the University of Georgia. But he's going to come in and be Mississippi State's tight ends coach. And Scott Salitz, who's been Mississippi State's tight end coach since Mullen's been there, is going to take an off-the-field position, offense quality control coach or player personnel. No, it's director of player personnel. It's one of those big, long titles of, you know, you look at Alabama's coaching staff and just see all the titles that those guys have. I guess that's starting to trickle down to some other schools, but director of player personnel.
That sounds like an NFL title, man. That sounds like that's an NFL title.
Well, Ferris, if you ever get some spare time, just look down Alabama's coaching chart and see some of the position title names they've got. I mean, it's like three or four word, you know, title. I mean, just some of it sounds like it's made up. But obviously, they've got plenty of money over there to spread around. But DJ Looney is a great coach. I mean, it's a guy that I got to know very well when he was playing and coaching over here at Mississippi State. Just a huge personality. Really fun guy to be around. He's going to bring a recruiting head. I think the recruits are going to love him. He recruited a lot at EMCC. You know, just a guy that's very active, very young. And both of these guys are actually, I'm 35, Parrish, and both of these coaches are younger than I am. Brett Elliott's 34. DJ Looney's probably in his late 20s. And just a kind of young guys that Dan Mullen's bringing into this staff. Another thing, Parrish, is we actually talked yesterday afternoon to Ron English and Todd Grantham for the first time. Those guys were hired this offseason. Todd Grantham is defensive coordinator. Ron English is safeties coach. And got to meet them for the first time yesterday. Todd Grantham spoke for close to a half hour up there just with the media about his defensive philosophy and his plan this spring is to kind of move guys around in different positions. He wants everybody to kind of be able to play multiple positions, and he just kind of wants to see what he's got on the defense for this next year. He said he had 25 to 30 play cut-ups of each player on defense, but he really wasn't going to gauge a lot off of that film. He really wanted to see these guys live and in person this spring, and kind of start from scratch. Everybody kind of gets a fresh start. Those guys that have been starting don't have starting positions anymore. They have to go back out there and earn it. Guys that have been buried on the depth chart get a new opportunity to impress a new coaching staff. So it's kind of an open competition out there this spring. It's going to be interesting to see where he puts some of these guys. If he does move some guys around and kind of see how this defense kind of takes shape this spring. Ron English is a guy with head coaching experience. He coached 3 or 4 years at Eastern Michigan. Kind of been around everywhere. Hasn't coached in the SEC, so it'll be his first time coaching there. But he's been the defense coordinator at Michigan, been the defense coordinator, I think, at Louisville. So a guy that's had some experience, he's going to be back there coaching the safeties. So it's going to be a new-look defense. But, of course, Mississippi State, you kind of get used to that. I mean, it seems like it's kind of been a revolving door for the last 8 or 9 years at the defense, with defensive coaches. So a new crop this spring, and we'll have to see how those guys do.
Well, signing day, Logan, is kind of like Christmas. It's that day on the calendar where if you have big things to take care of, the business year's coming to that holiday break a little bit. You want to get things done before signing day, and a lot of these staffs, the Ole Miss staff in particular, you're able to settle down before signing day. But it's not unusual to see this kind of movement after as well. And I know LSU and Arkansas both. Ed Ogeron and Arkansas. Brett Bielema. Also, they fired coaches this week, so they're also dealing with turnover and change on the staff after signing day. So anyway, it happens, and these staffs will settle down soon, and we'll move on to other football topics of more interest. But we're going to change gears right now, talk a little basketball. Logan, looking at the SEC standings today after the Rebels' 75-66 loss at Tennessee last night, a big loss for Ole Miss in the sense that that was an RPI opportunity, Tennessee at 34 going into that game, and Ole Miss with an outside chance, had they won, to perhaps get on a roll and play their way back into the NCAA tournament conversation. They did not, but I'm looking at the SEC standings right now, Logan. After last night, you have five teams. Tennessee's at 6-5. You have five who are 5-6: Auburn, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, and Vanderbilt. And I don't see any of those really emerging to make a run at an NCAA at large bid. I think the top three teams in the conference are going to be pretty secure: Florida, Kentucky, and South Carolina. After that, maybe there's a fourth team. Maybe Alabama gets in there. Maybe Tennessee. I don't think Arkansas is going to be that team, even though they're 6-5 right now. So I'm looking at this from the bottom up, Logan, and I'm wondering who are the four teams that are going to play on that Wednesday night, the first night of the SEC tournament, when the crowds are like 1,500. Missouri and LSU are obvious candidates at 1-10 in the league. I think they'll fill, half of that 4-team field. And after that, Georgia is 4-7 in the league, but that's a better team than 4-7, and they've had some hard luck and everything. And it wouldn't be surprising to see Georgia kind of play their way up in the standings a little bit. And outside of that, our teams now, State and Ole Miss, they're going to have to do some work to avoid that first day at the SEC tournament in Nashville. If not, one or both of us, Logan, it could be that it could be a short stay there in the SEC tournament.
Yeah, I've kind of gotten used to that over the last few years. Mississippi State hasn't made long appearances in the SEC tournament quite some time, so I'm kind of used to that 1-done or maybe 2-done type of stay.
Well, we'll see. Still a lot of basketball to be played here. But Ole Miss at 14-10, 5-6. State at 14-9, 5-6. If there's postseason to be had, It's going to be in the NIT most likely, and still some ground to cover to get there. Now, Logan, I really thought I thought last night's game would be difficult for Ole Miss, and obviously it was. But the Rebels had been playing well. They had improved in a number of areas, and they just reverted last night. They struggled with turnovers. They'd been averaging like 8 a game, had really reduced that number over a 3 or 4 game span. Then they had 18 last night. And just some guys that have to play well for Ole Miss didn't really play as well as they need to. And the one, the big one is DeAndre Burnett, you know, the leading scorer at about almost 17 points a game. They really need him to shoot well. He's coming off the high ankle sprain, but he's recovered from that mostly and just didn't shoot well. 2 for 13 from the floor, 1 for 7 from three. And Burnett's a guy that they need to get to the free throw line, and he just didn't get there enough last night. He hit all of his attempts, but he only had 3 attempts. So, you know, in a nutshell, you know, when you have your leading scorer doesn't shoot well, you have turnovers that you weren't having, and you don't get to the free throw line as much as the other team. 16 attempts for Ole Miss. You hit 13 of them. That's a good team percentage at 81.3. But Tennessee at the free throw line much more often. 36 attempts, 25 makes, and the Vols kind of pulled away there at the end. Ole Miss had a late lead and only hit one of its last 10 field goal attempts. And you can't do that and continue to win on the road against good teams. And now the Rebels, you know, they'll be at home Saturday against Auburn, and that's a team that's playing better as well. I know Auburn and State tangled here recently.
Yeah, and it's kind of been the same script for Mississippi State over the last two games. Dig a big old hole in the first half and try to climb out of it in the second. It worked for Mississippi State this past weekend at home against Tennessee. State got behind by 19 points and battled all the way back and ended up winning that game 64-59. Just played a whole lot better in the second half. Got a big game from Schneider Harrod, 12 points, 15 rebounds. Xavier Stapleton came off the bench, 14 points, 11 boards. Mario Kegler almost had a double-double as well, 17 points and 9 rebounds. So it got big contributions. Lamar Peters and Clendary Weatherspoon did not particularly play well in that game this past Saturday, but got contributions from other places. Mississippi State tried to play that same script at Auburn this past Tuesday and didn't fare so well. They got behind by 21 and spent the whole second half trying to climb back from that lead and got close and made it a ball game there late. Couldn't close it out. Ended up losing 98-92. So he scored 92 points and he still lost. Mississippi State scored 64 points in the second half. And that's just unheard of. I mean, you just don't see teams scoring that. The problem is they only scored 28 in the first half. So I don't know how you go from scoring 28 points to 64 points in the same game. But that's kind of where this team is right now. Without IG Reddy, again, Mississippi State is the youngest team in the country. They went from being the second youngest to now they're the youngest team in the country again. And they're really missing his leadership on the floor. He's the only other upperclassman on the team. But yeah, that Auburn game, Parrish, it was just a crazy game. You know, I mentioned some of the stuff that happened already, but the last 2 minutes and 25 seconds took 32 minutes in real time to play that. I mean, it just seemed like those last 2 minutes took forever to get through. I mean, in that ball game, there were 51 fouls called, 73 free throws shot in that game. 73. I mean, that's just not even college basketball to me. I mean, it's just, comes sort of like a game of horse almost. I mean, something just has to be done. I mean, they've got to either get better officials or call something different because it just becomes a foul fest and a free throw fest. I don't see how people enjoy watching this anymore.
Well, where is State Saturday?
They are playing at, let's see, they're playing at home against South Carolina. I got a 7 o'clock tip on a Saturday night. So I'm getting an 8 o'clock tip tonight for women's basketball and then a 7 o'clock tip Saturday against South Carolina, who's coming off a 4 overtime game against Alabama the other night. So they ought to be good and tired by the time they get to start.
and Ole Miss at home at 5 against Auburn on Saturday. College baseball, folks, get here soon. Actually, a week from Friday, opening day. We got some preseason press conferences coming up. Mississippi State on Saturday and Ole Miss on Monday. So we'll have some coverage at DJournal.com and in the Daily Journal from those events. Ole Miss opening at home against number 10 East Carolina next Friday. And is it Texas Tech for State, Logan?
That's one of the teams. Mississippi State always plays a round robin in the first couple of weeks. Coming in Western Illinois coming in that first.
Make sure that you attend at some point the press conference or the gathering or whatnot for Texas Tech coach Tim Tadlock, because it will be the most entertaining Texas draw you have ever heard. It's be worth your effort to go listen to Tim Tadlock talk. So anyway, folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage, a production of the Daily Journal. We thank you for clicking in with us today. Be sure to check out our news podcast, The Memo, with Brad Locke and Derek Russell. All things Northeast Mississippi coming to you every Wednesday and Friday. And also our high school sports podcast, Prep Rally, with Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps every Wednesday. And Logan and I will be back here with you next Thursday or Friday for another edition of Double Coverage.